nominees for the NASCAR Hall of Fame are announced. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
And this week on the show, I am joined by Kyle Petty, Andrew Curlin, and Brad Gilley, a fearsome foursome to break down all the action from Martinsville. And as always, look ahead to next weekend. Speaking of Martinsville, Hendrick Motorsports finally gets on the board. So does Chevrolet. Let's give it a listen.
Chase Elliott with the fans on their feet has clear sailing down the back straightaway. Denny Hamlin is five car lengths behind. It's Elliott to turn three.
Nobody is sitting down at the Martinsville Speedway. They watch Chase Elliott rocket up off turn number four. Checkered flag is in the air. Chase Elliott has won the Cookout 400 at Martinsville.
Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network with the call from Martinsville at the Cookout 400 is Chase Elliott. Picks up his first win of the year, the earliest he has ever won in a NASCAR season in race number seven. Let's hear from him.
Allen made a great call. You know, got us in a position there to leapfrog a bunch of cars, and I actually think it was going to work out really good for us either way. But the way it went, you know, it was great, you know, and got to come down pit road second and have an opportunity. So great way to, you know, end this first stretch. Never had a win this early in the season, so it's really cool.
Brad, we live in a strange universe that every time Chase Elliott doesn't win, there is a mob with pitchforks and torches headed toward the castle to tear down his crew chief, Alan Gustafson. This time, I think Chase single-handedly owes the race win to his crew chief.
100% he does. And look, Alan made the right call. And what do you do when the fastest car on the track is on a normal strategy, and that was Denny Hamlin? You have to do something different. And that's what Alan did. He took a chance, and it worked, and it worked in a big way. But it is funny. Just wait 2 weeks when we go to Bristol Motor Speedway. If they don't win again, then Alan Gustafson, who has won all 22 races with Chase Elliott, they'll be calling for his head again.
So, Brad, this is a great example of what you have as your prime directive of racing, isn't it?
That's exactly it. This is not a fastest car contest. It is a race. And to be the first to the checkered flag, there are a lot of different ways that can happen.
Kyle, it was a great example of exactly what Brad's talking about.
It was, and Brad's exactly right. In the interview, post-race interview, Alan said, we were trapped in 10th. We couldn't do anything. We had to do something. And so his hand was forced. They were just going to be a 9th or 10th place car all day long, he felt like. And they made that move. They caught the caution. Everything worked in their favor. Alan has made a lot of gutsy calls and great calls in the last year, 2 years that haven't paid off. And that's why these people wanted to crucify him, because they haven't paid off. But he's been willing to continue making calls. It's like we're watching the NCAA tournament now, and it's like those guys shooting the three. Just go shoot them, man. Eventually, they're going to come in. You just got to be brave enough to keep shooting. And that's what Alan did.
How impressed were you with this strategic call, Andrew, and the fact that it worked?
Yeah, and Kyle, to your point, too, it takes everyone to buy in. That's the thing, and that's what builds champions, is Alan Gustafson ultimately made that call, but it takes Chase Elliott and the crew and Hendrick Motorsports to trust in that plan to execute it, and I'm all for it. This is what you have to do to win these races. It was a very risky call. I do think they got lucky with that caution, but I'd like to see more of these moves. And as Chase and you guys mentioned, this is the earliest he's ever won. And Chase is a guy who might not win as much, but he can run consistently. So now that he's got a win under his belt, I'm curious to see what this opens the door for them.
He doesn't win a lot of races, but he manages to find a way. Yeah. Last year they won two. They won the race at Atlanta that was depleted with a third of the field running at the end, and then a miraculous finish at Kansas where I think he came from ninth to win the race on the last lap. Brad, is this a signal that Chevrolet and Hendrick have turned the corner, or is this – just one race?
I think this is just one race. Look, with the new Chevy body and the things we talk about, that's going to show up a lot more when we go to Kansas Speedway, when we go to Texas and things like that. While aerodynamics still have a little bit of a factor at Martinsville Speedway, it's not the same. And I think Denny even said it best before the race, like when you find something here, you can hang on to it for a while. But to your point, you go back to the beginning of 2025 when William Byron won the Daytona 500. Hendrick Motorsports has had 9 victories up through yesterday. Kyle Larson's had 3. William Byron has had 3. And Chase Elliott has had 3. So maybe he's no longer the third car at Hendrick, if you will.
He's the most consistent guy. Even if we go back to this year, if we look at the first Daytona, Atlanta, Vegas, you look at the West Coast Swing and some of those races, he's just been consistent. He's consistently right there in the points in the top 8 or 10. Nothing flashy, nothing special. That's been good. But I agree with what Brad just said, and I want to point this out. We've really only run Vegas, right? As the only real racetrack.
1.5 miles.
Yeah. As the only real racetrack where the aero, where we get into some of that stuff. This was, and these guys talk about it all the time, Martinsville still is a mechanical racetrack. It's mechanical grip. They complained about drive up off the corner, being loose, getting in the corner. But it's still, that's mechanical more so than the aero. So we still don't have, I still don't think we have a good read on where the Chevy body is.
Should we be concerned that Kyle Larson's not been to victory lane in what is now getting close to a year?
It's a long winless streak for Larson. I think we're on the brink of concern. If he gets to that 1 year mark, that is certainly going to be alarming. Back to the Hendrick Motorsports conversation, though, and the win helps Chase Elliott, but he's the highest Hendrick car in points. There's no denying that he has the speed. Meanwhile, Kyle Larson, I don't even know where he finished yesterday. He finished 9th, not bad, only, you know, had points for one stage, really wasn't a factor or a player. I don't know if it's alarm bells yet for Hendrick Motorsports. I think this was a strategy win. They didn't win it on outright speed, but I think you could be nearing some sort of concern for Hendrick and the Chevy camp.
I don't think you can be concerned about Kyle Larson. He's the greatest driver in the world, and we know Tony Stewart said that it's harder to win in the Chili Bowl than it is anywhere else, and he's won out there, and he continues to run and win on dirt. So I don't think there's any concern.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I've been walking around in the wilderness for 40 years on that one, Kyle.
What do you think the issue is, or the holdup is then for Kyle Larson?
I don't ask me. It's not the car. It's got to be the car. It's got to be the car because we know he's the greatest driver in the world. I mean, I've read it a million times. I've heard it a million times. It's on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Right, of course.
He is our reigning champion.
I realize that, but I'm just saying it's been, to Doug's point, when's he going to show up? When's he going to show up and dominate?
With race winning speed.
When's he going to show up and have speed again and do that? When's he going to show up? Because we've not seen that. And you know, and I will say this back to Brad's comment, and Brad is exactly right. It's not it's not the horse that goes to the bathroom the fastest. It's the horse that goes to the bathroom the longest that wins the race. That's a Joe Ruttman saying, okay? Take bathroom out and put the S word in. That's a Joe Ruttman. But I'm going to say this. To date, this year, until we got to Martinsville, the fastest car had won every race. Mm. The fastest car in every race that we had run, the guys who had run up front and dominated these races, won, meaning Tyler Reddick, meaning the 12 car of Blaney at Phoenix. We saw the fastest car win. So this swings the pendulum back the other way a little bit, where this was a little bit more of a strategy race than a strategy call.
We can transition from Kyle Larson, but the biggest...
Let's don't. He's the greatest driver in the world.
The biggest litmus test, I think, will be in 2 weeks. We're gonna need to see how he shows up at Bristol, and that's going to really be defining what kind of speed they have, because Larson dominated the Bristol race 1 year ago. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge and the biggest check-in point, I think, for Kyle Larson fans.
Could be.
I'm not concerned, but I think you start looking at a team that hasn't won for as long as they've gone, even though he is the reigning champion, and Brad defanged that argument just a little bit. I'm still kind of looking over my shoulder saying, what's happening there? Brad, you know what happened or didn't happen at Martinsville on Sunday?
You didn't have a hot dog?
I did have a hot dog. I actually brought hot dogs back for some of the folks here. because they had never been initiated. Kyle Busch is now standing at 600 races without a W.
Oh, oof.
Or 100. That, yeah.
600?
I was saying days, not races.
No,
days?
Days.
Years?
No.
Yeah. No. Remember when he was the greatest driver in the world?
He was. I got my numbers wrong there, but
so
100 races.
No way.
That Kyle Busch has gone without winning.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. How many has he gone without finishing on the lead lap? That ooh, number's growing
wow,
as
yeah,
well.
That is growing.
The sad part is now it is pretty normal that he's gone down a lap in the first stage.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I love a competitive Kyle Busch. I want him in the mix and
yeah, but he
upsetting drivers and being the old rowdy.
I hate to say use this way, but this may be the quickest I've ever seen in the sport someone go from contender to irrelevant.
Yeah.
When we get to the racetrack. You know what I mean? Because he went in one fell swoop from contender to just irrelevant. We're talking about him because he was so good before. But if this had been his MO, we wouldn't be mentioning the name.
And it was good when he first got to Richard Childress Racing.
Yep.
Yeah, he won three races that year.
Right off the bat.
And I'm gonna say this. When you say he was good, I'm gonna say they were good. Because yeah, it takes that entire it's the entire rotation in the group.
How much do you think lack of practice has hurt Kyle Busch? That was kind of a COVID change, and
I don't put it on lack of practice.
Because he was one of the drivers who could really dial his car in.
Yeah, but I don't think he can dial his car in because I don't think he knows what he's looking for. And sure. And we've had this conversation before, and there's other drivers that have. That's what makes what Denny does so spectacular. That's what makes what Brad Kay, they've done it in different cars. Denny has dominated at Martinsville in different eras with different cars. Once we went to this car, Kyle Busch just disappeared. He cannot make this car do what he wants this car to do.
By the way, as we sit here, after seven races, Kyle Busch is 24th in points, well away from the Chase cut line. Austin Dillon, his teammate, is 27th.
Ouch.
Yeah.
There's a great Red Hot Chili Peppers song that has the lyrics, give it away, give it away, give it away now. You cannot do that anymore in NASCAR racing. We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues.
Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5-2-go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
It's Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, Andrew Curlin, Kyle Petty, Brad Gilley. Remember back in the good old days, 2025, when your favorite driver could have a couple of disastrous races and you'd go, that's okay, we're going to go win Talladega and we'll make the playoffs. Well, now we don't have playoffs anymore. We have the chase. And if your driver has two really, really bad races, guess what? He may not be chasing anything but his tail because it really hurts. Andrew, in yesterday's race at Martinsville, we saw Bubba Wallace get caught up into a ruckus with Carson Hocevar, turns him coming out of turn four, practically drives through him, and finishes above 30th. And that's 2 weeks in a row. You cannot give a race away anymore, can you?
I would argue that 2025 wasn't the good old days. This is the good old days because this is how it should be. I can't wait to log on to J-Ski and look at the point standings after each race.
Yeah.
And it's because it matters. Bubba Wallace, as you said, went from 3rd to 11th in the points. Tyler Reddick had a human day, finishing, I think, 15th. And he lost a little bit of his advantage over Ryan Blaney. And then you look at how important winning is as well. Denny did not win the race. He scored one more point than race winner Chase Elliott after sweeping both stages. But back to Bubba Wallace. This is a marathon now, not a sprint like the playoff format was. And you really need to think big picture in the short-term moments, like when you get caught up in it at Martinsville.
Kyle, every time I think that Bubba has matured a little bit more and this is Bubba 4.0, and he's cool under pressure, something like this happens.
Yeah.
This was 100% avoidable the way – I know Hocevar roughed him up earlier in the lap, but you don't need to do that and take out other cars and take yourself out.
Yeah, it's – listen, I'm not in a race car. And I don't know what went through his head or where he was at, but I don't believe he was in a good place. From the outside looking in, I don't think he was a good place inside that helmet, because when he said he misjudged, and I understand he could have misjudged when he went back to the gas in the center of the corner when he got in the Hocevar. I don't know how you misjudge when your foot's flat on the floor and you're driving through Hocevar as you come up off the corner. I got that, but he hit him. And listen, we talk about Earnhardt, we talk about the way people used to race. It's okay to hit somebody and get them out of shape and get around them. And we saw that a lot of times. And it's okay to hit somebody and move them up. We've seen that a million times. But, you know, you got to give the guy time or space to recover. Hocevar had no opportunity to recover. There was never going to be an opportunity when he was going to be able to get that thing back. So when I look at, we know Bubba is an emotional guy. And we know he wears his emotions on his sleeve. Martinsville is a place that emotions are always bubbling, right there at the top, right there at the top. Back to your question in the beginning here is, this is, now we're back to racing, and it's your completed body of work for the entire year. It's not a highlight reel. It's not, I ran this race, or I did do it good in these three races, or I had two races in this segment, or whatever it may be. This is your entire body of work, and you're going to have bad days. Don't make your own bad days. And he made his own bad day yesterday.
Just for the record, being totally sarcastic about 25 being the good old days.
I know.
Brad, there are no more get out of jail free cards. He can't make up for this by going and winning next week.
No, there are not. And I realize if you look at the scoreboard, if you will, the point standings, he dropped 8 spots to 11th. Really, he's tied for 8th because you're in a 4-driver tie right there. So I just want to put that in perspective. But here's the rub. in this incident. There were 9 cars involved in that wreck. The only 2 that didn't continue in the race were Bubba Wallace and his teammate, Riley Herbst.
Yeah.
And what have we heard for the last 3 weeks that Riley Herbst has been involved in an incident? Man, Riley was really fast today. Riley was really good. We just don't have the finish to show for it. Well, now your teammate took that away from you, and that's not good.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore.
I'm going to say one more thing. Is I think these races with Bubba, and I've said it before, and we'll document it as we go through the year, it's easy to lose points and hard to gain. And you see that with Bubba. You see how fast you can fall with one race where you're mortal.
I've said this before. When you're going to school, a D hurts your grade point average a lot more than an A helps it.
Yeah,
well said.
It just puts you down at water level. Let's give a cookie out to another Toyota driver that's performing the best that he's ever done in his career. And we're talking about Ty Gibbs, Andrew. I mean, his numbers this year, as the cliche goes, they don't lie. He has been, I feel like, boxing way above his weight.
Absolutely, yeah. He, I think, just got his 5th consecutive top 6 finish of the season. One of the better Joe Gibbs Racing cars every single weekend. Brad, you and I talked to him before the season started at Daytona 500 Media Day. He seems to be as locked in as he's ever been on what he needs to do as a driver, whether that's nutrition or fitness or taking care of himself and his duties to be ready to go behind the wheel. And I think we're seeing the results of that. Ty Gibbs is off to the best start that he's ever had in a year where points matter, as we've documented, more than they ever have. This is a good time to be getting hot for Ty Gibbs.
I would agree. And look, Lee Spencer, by the way, set a world record after the race. She got a full 2-minute interview with Ty Gibbs,
wow,
which was amazing. I know we're all baffled, but performance wise, and I think there's a little bit too to be said about a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Sure.
You know, with Chris Gabehart leaving and some things that have come out about his feelings on Ty and all of those other things, I think Ty Gibbs is racing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, feeling like he has a whole different something to prove, but he's proving it. And that team is running so well right now. They would be, if I was playing the NASCAR Fantasy Live game, they're going to be perpetually on my list right now.
Yeah. Well, they keep knocking out the top 5,
for sure.
Kyle, and that's the neighborhood you have to live in to start getting wins.
Yeah, it's the same old thing. We talk about it all the time. If you can run in the top 5, you're going to win races. You're just going to win races because your day is going to come and you're going to be that guy that rotates to the top. When you and we talk about it, when you run in the top 10 from 6th, 7th, and 8th, keep doing that. Eventually, you're going to make it to the top 5. That's the way. But you're not going to go from 25th to win races in one fell swoop at places like Martinsville and places in the competition the way it is today.
And Ty Gibbs currently 6th in points, 2nd highest Gibbs car. Denny Hamlin right now is in 3rd in points. Top 5 in points, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, William Byron. Ty Gibbs rounds out the top 6. When we come back, we've got a new set of nominees for the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is PRN's David Stiles. Life is always moving, and so are you. So what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcasts while you're on the go. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Fast Talk, Garage Pass, and At the Track. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
This April at Bristol, 750 horsepower meets soft tires. More power, less grip. Drivers wrestling machines that don't want to be tamed. When the engines roar and the rubber wears, you don't get calm, you get chaos. Slide jobs, fenders bending, tempers rising. It's the Food City 500 weekend, April 10th through the 12th at Bristol Motor Speedway. And it's where race fans will be. Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your cooler. Just don't blink. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
Coming up on the show, we'll have a little green flag, black flag action. We're also going to talk about the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. We'll wrap with one last thing. But over the weekend, a brand new class was announced for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And drivers and people that are eligible to get into the Hall of Fame from the current or the modern era: Greg Biffle, Neil Bonnet, Tim Brewer, Jeff Burton, Randy Dorton, Ray Elder, six-time ARCA champion, Jack Sprague, three-time Truck Series champion, Randy LaJoie, two-time what was then, I guess, Busch Series, Kevin Harvick, and Harvick got his nomination announced in a special way.
This won't come as any surprise to anybody, but back in February, the Hall of Fame nominating committee got together and put together a list of the 10 nominees that'll go in front of the Hall of Fame vote that's coming up in May for the 2027 class. And on his first year of eligibility, they let me tell Kevin Harvick face to face.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad I was around watching your career start and finish.
Yeah. Well.
So that was on the Fox pre-race show as NASCAR's Mike Helton let Kevin Harvick know that he was on the ballot. Ernie Elliott, the famous mechanic and engine builder for Bill Elliott during his heyday, is the top 10. Brad Gilley, any surprises on here? And we've got a couple of new nominees with Greg Biffle getting on. And also, of course, we just heard from Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, I don't know that there are any surprises on there. I think you look at this list of 10, and out of the 10, two are going to go into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I would feel like it's safe to say that Kevin Harvick would be a first ballot Hall of Famer with everything that he's accomplished in his career. But you look at the names, and I think that's where it becomes more difficult. I think for some people, they might look at an individual and go, oh, well, that one's easy for me. For other people, they might go, boy, you can make a case for this driver or this mechanic or this engine builder and so on and so forth. And that's what's fun about it. And I think that's what's going to be fun about the conversation and the debate and all of that that goes into this.
Ernie Elliott's on here. Ernie, the famous engine builder that built these unbeatable cars on the big tracks for Bill Elliott. Humpy Wheeler early on put out a press release explaining what the Elliotts were doing. And it was an aero thing. And it had diagrams and everything. The Elliotts were up here in front of Humpy's office the next day saying, why did you tell everybody this? You've got to retract that. Because Humpy was right. They had figured out how the air moved over the cars much better than anybody else. So I kind of giggled when I saw Ernie Elliott. Is there a name that jumps off this page for you, Andrew?
I mean, all of these people are incredibly deserving. I mean, the two are the two newest ones, obviously Greg Biffle and Kevin Harvick. I was able to watch both of their careers, and I think those are two fantastic names. Greg Biffle, obviously with an impressive on-track record, but an amazing impact overall to the sport. And, you know, if he were to join the Hall of Fame, I think that would just be a really wonderful, wonderful moment to be able to celebrate him, to really celebrate everything that he does deserve on and off the track. But a lot of great names on here for sure.
You know, Kyle, if you get bubble gum caught in your hair, it's hard to separate it out. It's I'm going someplace.
Okay,
I'm
waiting for this. I know you are.
This is great.
I'm going someplace.
I know you are.
I think with Greg Biffle, especially with recent developments about how he passed and about what he had done a year before that, it is almost impossible to separate that story from his racing career. The two are locked in.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Just because he was tragically killed in a plane crash, just because he did things in the mountains of North Carolina, heroic things, great humanitarian things, that should count as something. But that should not be the factor that gets him into the Hall of Fame. He won in the Cup. He won an Xfinity Series championship. He won a Truck Series championship. Numerous races in those, came to Cup races, won 19. We're back to, do numbers matter or do numbers not matter? And I go through this, and you tell the Ernie Elliott story. Ernie Elliott, I look at these two engine builders, and Randy Dorton still has an effect on what Hendrick Motorsports is doing today. His fingerprints are all over that engine room. So how big of impact has Randy Dorton had on this sport? He's put Jeff Gordon in the Hall of Fame. He's put Jimmy Johnson in the Hall of Fame. Randy Dorton indirectly has put everybody that walked through the gates at Hendrick Motorsports in the Hall of Fame. I look at Ernie Elliott. Ernie Elliott, his brother Bill's already there. Ernie changed the way Ford raced. I was driving for the Wood Brothers at the time. Mm-hmm. Leonard Wood, Bud Moore, you had those guys. And you had Junie. That was the Ford representation. The Elliotts show up. Ernie pushed the envelope so far that Ford started their SVO, their special vehicles operation. They got neck deep in the sport. They changed the way Ford raced, which in turn changed the way Chevy raced and changed the way GM raced. So he moved the sport in a different direction. We don't think about it. 212 at Talladega, making up a lap, two laps on the racetrack, that changed the sport. Now, I'm a little teed off, and you've already got me fired up here. I want you to read the Ray Elder the way you introduced him. Ray Elder what?
Six-time ARCA champion.
No, he was not. No, he was not. He was a six-time Winston West champion. It was not ARCA. Do not rewrite history. Do not change what Ray Elder did. Ray Elder beat Richard Petty, Parnelli Jones, Harry Gant, or Dan Gurney. He beat those guys at Riverside. He could run with the Cup guys when they came to Riverside. He was a Winston West champ, not ARCA. ARCA takes it to a different place and another time and a different mindset. So this is what I dislike sometimes when we nominate people and we try to tell their history. Tell their history factually. Tell their history on what they did. Lay it out on a piece of paper and let us discuss it. And I'm going to say it again. Take the emotion of a tragedy or whatever, that take that out. That you don't get in the Hall. It's not a social Hall of Fame. It's not a humanitarian Hall of Fame. It's the NASCAR freaking Hall of Fame. And you got me fired up, and I'm getting ready to walk out of here and go wash my face with cold water and calm down. Okay?
Okay.
End of conversation.
All right, we'll give you a little
I'm kidding. I love it.
I do want to say this about Greg Biffle. I think he's a Hall of Famer if he never goes to the mountains of North Carolina and saves lives.
Not going to argue that.
Or the way he passed.
Not going to argue that.
Because I look just analytically, 19 wins, guys that are also on this bout, 19 wins with a truck championship.
And an Xfinity championship.
And an Xfinity.
Bush, whatever it was at the time. Yeah, that's exactly
two
right.
Two different titles, 19 wins, raced for one guy the whole time. Jeff Burton, 21 race wins. Big difference there. No titles for Jeff.
No titles. That's right. And that's what separates. I think titles separate you. And we know that Biffle knocked on the door of that Cup championship. Mm-hmm. He was knocking on that door of taking the triple crown, having a championship in each division. Biffle had an impact on the sport. I want people to focus on Biffle's impact on the racetrack and what he did there and not be tainted by the other piece.
Be curious to see how the voting goes in May. I have a feeling that it's a fait accompli, though. I think it's Kevin Harvick and Greg Biffle.
It's going to be interesting to see after everybody listens to this show how much hate mail I get and how much hate tweet. How many hate tweets. But that's okay.
You don't get mail anymore, do you?
I still get mail. It's a lot of prison mail, but I get mail.
Oh. I used to get prison mail.
You get prison mail. There's nothing like prison mail.
You know, hey, I'm in prison. I'm incarcerated. For 5 to 8 years.
I get letters and some lines are redacted.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, they're blacked out, man. It's crazy.
Because they had to censor it at the
other end. Yeah. Yeah, that's true,
that's
man.
All right.
That's a fact.
That's we should do a show one day on our favorite prison.
Yes,
mail.
We should. We should. We should.
Wow. We used to get song requests from the Tarrant County Jail.
That's good.
It was, you have a collect call from play Metallica, Enter Sandman. To accept this call.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
They built a high-rise prison in the town that I live in of Salisbury, North Carolina. And then they realized after they had built it, they built it like an eighth of a mile away from the X-rated drive-in movie theater.
Oh, no way.
No way.
A little free entertainment.
Oh, that's good.
If you were
that's good.
The third floor and up.
Or punishment.
Yeah. Whichever way you want to look at it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and talk about the Now O'Reilly series.
Fireworks in the air here at Nashville Super Speedway.
Reddick and Bell locked together door to door as they head into three. Nobody giving an inch there.
Start your engines as the Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR triple header this May 29th through the 31st storms at a Nashville Super Speedway where horsepower meets Music City rhythm. 3 days, three races. It's a high-speed honky-tonk under the lights all weekend long. Get your tickets at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 866-RACETICKS today.
Hi, this is PRN's Andrew Curlin. Weekends are the time to get stuff done. And when you're on the go, make sure you take advantage of the PRN mobile app. You can catch myself from the pits or the turns covering the action alongside our incredibly talented PRN crew. So you can listen to us from anywhere, at home, on the road, or even at the racetrack. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Curlin and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those knotters and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Just putting a button on the last segment, we are non-discriminatory of the origin of fan mail.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Don't care.
That's true.
Don't care if it comes from somebody that's incarcerated or somebody that's incapacitated.
Yep.
If you think enough to drop us a note, that's all
good. That's
right. Yeah. Brad Gilley, the O'Reilly series raced at Martinsville. Allgaier wins again, and they get staged front and center this coming weekend for over Easter.
Yeah, they do. You know what? Last year, this was kind of cool to see Rockingham Speedway reopen, and love the fact that what the Craftsman Truck Series was able to do and what is now the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, everyone walked away from this event last year saying, well, this needs to be the new Easter weekend tradition in NASCAR. We can still have a race. We can still have Easter Sunday to spend time with your families. And we saw a couple of really great shows, and I would love to see something like this just be a staple on the NASCAR schedule.
It's kind of nice they get their own moment.
It is. Yeah, I go home for Easter. It was really wonderful to be able to sit down on the couch and watch the O'Reilly or then Xfinity race with my dad. I don't normally get to go home and watch races with him, and that's like a fun Easter tradition now.
Yeah, and I love Rockingham. You guys know that already. But and because that was our home track. Like Level Cross is only like 62 miles from there. But I think what I like about it is you're taking the racing today and the trucks and the O'Reilly series, and you're putting them on a racetrack that was built in the mid 60s. I think it came about in like 65. And It's a mile racetrack. This is not something, it's not another mile and a half. It's not another speedway. It's not another short track. It's that middle ground that used to be a staple and used to be a mainstay on the sport, but then kind of went away. So I'm going down there. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to go do some stuff for the CW on that Saturday.
Nice.
I'm going to wander around down there and show them everywhere I hit there when I drove. The different places on the walls where I left my mark.
Now, you had success at Rockingham. What are you doing on the CW? What have they got you cast?
You know what? Right now, I'm just a man about town.
Wow.
I think
bon vivant.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's great. And I think I'm just going to be there. They've got a couple of pit reporters, and I'll be there with them, but not really reporting on anything, mostly just running my mouth and telling stories and walking around. And I'm looking forward to it because you got the trucks on Friday, but then you've got the ARCA race on Saturday and the O'Reilly race. So it's a doubleheader on Saturday.
I'm glad they brought this back. Is there any shot in the dark that the Cup guys show up there ever, or do we want them to?
So that's a great question. Because let's go back and ask that question 8 years ago. Is there any shot in the dark they'll ever go back to Wilkesboro?
No.
That's right.
8 years ago, none.
Do you see what I'm saying? No. And I think in this sport now and where we are, you have to say there's got to be a shot in the dark, man. You know what I mean? There's got to be a chance that they come in. Do they run an all-star event? Do they run a one-off event? How do they do something? Do they run a season opener? I don't know. Or does it come back like Wilkesboro and build itself back to where it can be at least a one race stop on the schedule? And I think, you know, it went away from there for a number of reasons, but we began to market race. We began to go to Chicago and to different cities, to Kansas. And Rockingham was just not a huge market. Let's be honest. And there wasn't a lot of seating. There wasn't a lot of draws. Now, when you go there and last year, man, they were hanging from the rafters down there. And it's 20,000-25,000 people, but it looks great. And the excitement level is great. And that's what Rockingham brings. It brings that community. It brings them back. I think there's a snowball's chance, but not in the next year, not in the next couple of years. I mean, it'll have to work its way back, just like Wilkesboro did, work its way back into the conversation and then have an opportunity.
Andrew, talking about the O'Reilly series, to me, this is just feel. I'm not looking at numbers. It feels like it's Allgaier and then everybody else.
They always have speed at Junior Motorsports, but I'm seeing a really locked in Justin Allgaier's new crew chief, Andrew Overstreet, is having a great start to the year for them as well. And again, we're going to continue to talk about the chase, but this is what Justin Allgaier and that 7 car and that 7 team are made for. It is consistent runs. It's running up front. Now that you don't have Connor Zilich, I feel like the floodgates are open for Justin Allgaier to, you know, go for his second championship.
Brad, is everybody else singing back up right now to Allgaier?
Well, look, we have ranted and raved about what Tyler Reddick has done in the Cup Series with 4 wins. Justin Allgaier has 3 and commands more of a points lead right now than what Tyler Reddick has in the Cup Series. So his season is equal to what we're seeing with Reddick on the Cup side of things, and it's pretty cool to watch him cross over to 30 wins, then get the 31st victory, lead the point standings, do all the things. There's a lot of feel-good to this right now.
Yeah.
Junior Motorsports feels like they own the playing field, and everybody else is just showing up intermittently. Maybe RCR on a given Saturday has a shot, or occasionally Gibbs, but right now it's Junior Motorsports and especially Allgaier.
Well, that's the difference between, I feel like, the Cup Series and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. Is you look at the Cup Series standings, Tyler Reddick's at the top of it, but I could name you 10 names if they go on a hot streak and a hot run that they could be contenders for the championship. I don't think you could do the same for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. I mean, who are Justin Allgaier's, who's his biggest competition? Is it Jesse Love? Is it Austin Hill? Is it someone else Junior Motorsports camp?
But again, that's the beauty of this system, and that's the beauty of a 36 race schedule or a 10 month schedule. That's because somebody's going to get hot at some point in time. And we're not going to be talking about Justin. We're going to be talking about Jesse Love. We're going to be talking about
Sheldon
Austin
Creed.
Yes, Sheldon Creed. We're going to be talking about somebody and say, Can anybody stop this team?
I want to talk about Sheldon Creed.
Where did they come from?
I really do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, that is the beauty of where we're at. We have a way of anointing these people and saying, they're the guy. And then in June, we don't even remember who we talked about in March.
A couple of 30-second place finishes changes the reality.
Changes it. Yep.
Speaking of reality, we got to take a break right now.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
Big time enjoyable show today. Four panelists, Kyle Petty, Andrew Curlin, Brad Gilley. I'm Doug Rice, and it is time now for this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
You betcha, and our Green Flag, Black Flag is brought to you, of course, by Dollar Tree, celebrating 40 years of value and growth. Dollar Tree is a proud sponsor of Legacy Motor Club and the number 42 Toyota Camry XSE of John Hunter Nemechek. Also the number 43 of Eric Jones. That is Dollar Tree. You know how it works. I read some carefully prepared statements here. If our panel agrees with those statements, they give it a green flag. Disagree, it gets a black flag. Give a stupid answer, and I hit this. I don't have any.
Oh, wow.
Just
wow.
That tough show.
It interesting. That hurts.
All right. Here we go. Top of the list here. We go to Kyle Petty first. Ross Chastain, sitting in 19th in the points, will break into the playoffs. Sneak in.
Yeah, listen. I'm going to say black flag. And that's going to hurt somebody's feelings. I know it is. He's getting beat by Shane Van Gisbergen now. Mm-hmm. I mean, SVG is way up. SVG is, I don't know where he's at now. But, I mean, as you look at it, yeah, I don't think he's going to. Unless something big happens. Let me go ahead and say that.
Huh. So your answer is black flag.
Black flag, black flag. Sorry. Black flag, yes.
All right, we go to Brad Gilley. Here
go
we
go. Go ahead and give me the stupid buzzer.
No, we didn't mean to do that. All right, here we go, Brad Gilley.
Hopefully my wife's not listening because I'm going to say black flag. They're just not running well enough to be there right now. That could change,
yep.
But if you ask me today, they're just not running well enough to be there.
Yep.
Doug, what do you think?
I want to believe. I really want to believe, but black flag.
Yeah.
I'm going to go echo what Brad said. Cars are not fast, and he is getting beat by his own teammate.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, is it unanimous?
I hate to make it unanimous, ooh, but yes. Oh. Black flag.
He helped you move your couch.
He did, and thank you, Ross, for helping me move into my new apartment. But, yeah, just the results, they're back half of the top 15, top 20s. I'm going to need to see some really big, dramatic changes for him to feel like I've give him a green flag.
Yeah, lately he's been the car that gets lapped right after you lap Kyle Busch.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
He's not going to help anybody move a couch now.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
The hate mail is going to have a lot of variety this week.
Yes, I'm going to have to sort it into piles. Yeah.
Brad Gilly, this one's yours. There will be another Reddick win before Charlotte.
Green flag. A lot of opportunity. We got Kansas coming up. We have Texas coming up. He's won Talladega. That's coming up as well. So, yeah, I'm going to say green flag.
Doug Rice?
I think he's used up all of his goody for the first part of the season. So I'm going to say black flag.
Wow.
What do you think, Andrew?
Let's rock and roll, Tyler Reddick. I think you're going to get another checkered flag. Yeah, absolutely. They're on a roll. When you're hot, you can win anywhere.
Yeah, all right, here we go,
Kyle. Green flag. I give that one green.
Very good. Okay, we go to Doug Rice for this one. Toyota will have more cars in the chase than either Chevy or Ford.
Green flag. Green flag. I think they will. I think they will outnumber Chevrolet and Ford. Just by sheer numbers right now, the Gibbs cars look really good, and 2311, even with his kind of brain-dead mistake that he made at Martinsville, I think Bubba gets into the chase, and obviously Tyler Reddick. So,
That's five or six right there.
Yeah. I'm liking it.
Andrew, what do you think?
There's five in right now. Chase Briscoe, I think we haven't documented him having a very good start to the season so far. I think there's a lot of room for him to grow to be that sixth driver in the chase, plus there are other Toyota friends out there in Legacy Motor Club, John Hunter Nemechek, Eric Jones, that can be allies for them on the racetrack. So I'll say green flag.
Kyle Petty.
I like the way you said allies on the racetrack and didn't include them in the other part, because I'm thinking you're reaching in the bottom of that one for that. you're going, so I'm going to say green flag. Yes, because I just think the numbers, when you look at the numbers of competitive Toyotas compared to the numbers of what should be in the playoffs from the Chevy side and the Ford side, yes.
Brad?
Make it unanimous. Green flag. I think they put six cars in there, then it'll be 5-5 for Ford and Chevy.
All right, quick Easter question here. We'll go to Andrew Curlin for this. Oh. The best way to enjoy a peep at Easter is to not eat it.
I'll go green flag, just because that is not an Easter tradition for me, so maybe this will be the first year I'll have to try it.
Yes, but yes. So I'm gonna go green flag on that, because I dropped my kids. I dropped Devant and Cotton this morning at preschool, and they had boxes of peeps on the table. Okay, and what do you think they were gonna do with them today?
Throw them.
They're painting with them.
Oh.
Okay. They're dipping them in paint and painting with peeps. Hey, listen.
And then you eat it?
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say.
Yeah, no.
You give that to toddlers, they're just going to eat it paint and all.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Come on. It's better than them eating the dirt outside. So they're eating the painted peeps. That's okay. But they're painting with them. Okay.
Brad Gilly, any mercy for peeps here?
No, I'm going to say green flag. Those are, I'm not a fan.
Doug's not a fan. I can tell by his face.
No, green flag. Those things have like an atomic half-life.
Yes. You know? You're exactly right.
The one thing after we have Armageddon. That'll be left on the planet will be peeps.
They're just going to stand up and start walking around then.
The Reese's eggs. That's where the money is.
All right, there's your green flag, black flag. It's brought to you by Dollar Tree. And Doug Rice, back to you.
Love some Dollar Tree. By the way, Darius Rucker, congratulations. Buying in and getting a little piece of the action from Legacy Motor Club. How about
play that.
That's
pretty
cool.
Play that crazy. What's that? For buying into a race team. Good job, Darius.
Would you at karaoke, would you sing Wagon Wheel?
No. I'm not a fan of Wagon Wheel. Rock Me Baby Like a Wagon Wheel. It's a Wagon Wheel rolls. That's your phone ringing, dude.
Oh, it's not. That's not mine.
Oh, that's my phone ringing.
Yeah,
it's spam.
What on earth? You looking at me?
That's
or
the first hate
me?
Mail.
Give me the wah wah for Kyle. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Wagon Wheel fan.
Okay,
I'm not a Wagon Wheel. I'm sorry. That's just not.
I know there's a big karaoke joint in our town, and there's one sign above the stage. No wagon wheel.
Yeah.
You cannot sing right. Karaoke to Wagon Wheel. So they wore
Rock
the world
me,
out.
Mama.
I like the deeper cuts anyways. That's my thing.
I don't even know Wagon Wheel.
Yeah,
oh.
good for
oh,
you.
Do.
Good for you. Don't.
Yeah,
you
I don't know that
just
I do.
By osmosis
don't,
you do.
Man.
All right, we got to take That's a break. Crazy. Be right back.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Let's segue over to this segment right now.
One last thing.
It has been a hot minute since we have done one last thing. So in honor of that, we are going to give each of our panelists a half minute for their one last thing. Brad Gilley, you're up first.
My half minute is your favorite racetrack is going to have some cool racing events and a lot of other cool events as well. Just this past weekend at Texas Motor Speedway, they had Mopar Heaven and so many things coming up over the next 3 months. Go to the event calendar and check out what fun you can have.
Kyle Petty, 30 seconds, one last thing.
Okay, so my 30 seconds is this. This is my favorite time of the year, and I'm holding up the nominees right here. And Neil Bonnett, Tim Brewer, Randy Dorton, Ray Elder, Ernie Elliott. We go through that. Then we get down to Ray Fox, Harry Hyde, Banjo Matthews, Herb Nabb that are on the Pioneer list. These are the stars and the guys that I grew up with. These are the people of my youth. So every time we get that nomination, every time their name comes back, every time they get their 3 or 4 minutes of fame on the radio or in the paper for a short period of time each year, it makes my heart feel good because those guys should always be remembered.
Andrew Curlin.
Very well said. I was told this could be about anything.
Yes.
So there's a new album coming out. It's by a guy
anything
named
Anything but an album.
Ernest. And it's very beachy. It's good warm weather vibes. He's got 4 songs out right now. I've just been listening to it nonstop. Boat Named After You is currently my favorite.
Who's the artist?
Go check it out. Ernest.
All right. Sounds like a winner. I don't go to a lot of movies. I went to see Project Hail Mary. I am a sci-fi geek from the word go. It might possibly be the best science fiction movie I have ever watched. It's a cross between Armageddon, Interstellar, and E.T. So if you want to find a family-friendly movie that's not too syrupy, Check out Project Hail Mary. You won't regret it. A little bit long, but a lot of fun.
It's fantastic.
Ernest.
Yeah. So that's two votes there.
Ernest.
All right. Enjoy your day and keep it between the navigational beacons.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.